Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, as we continue these messages on thirsting for God's wisdom. You know, there's a lot of knowledge in this world. There are a lot of very smart, we could say brilliant people. I think of the engineering feats that we see as we travel around. I think one of the things that fascinates me is the Golden Gate Bridge. It was built back in the 30s, and you would have thought it was built yesterday. I mean, what a marvel of engineering. I think they built it for about $35 million. They would charge that much just to say, well, let's build it today. Last May, when our younger son Anthony had his medical school hooding ceremony, as I think back on that special occasion, I recall the brain power in that room. You had all these medical doctors, these PhDs who had taught and trained Anthony and his medical school class. And of course, then there were Anthony and his peers who were receiving their medical doctor degree. And going through medical school, you have to have a little smart somewhere. And then the families of those young people represented, many of them were highly educated. Some were even physicians. There was, down at the Augusta Convention Center that May afternoon, 2015, lots of brain power. And that brain power had amassed a huge amount of knowledge. But having painstakingly gained so much knowledge does not automatically mean, it does not guarantee that a person also has acquired wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, are two different things. Having knowledge does not presume that that individual then has wisdom, possesses wisdom. Please understand, man can skillfully hold and disseminate knowledge. And this knowledge can be objectively measured via essays, exams, and certified thereafter by diplomas and degrees. But wisdom, on the other hand, can be very subjective, which makes it much harder to grade, to evaluate. But thankfully, like knowledge, wisdom can be gained. This message seeks to help educate us on how we can obtain wisdom. Now, to do so, I want us to look at four helps, and that's going to be our outline. Four helps that, when followed, will earn you and me the degree WD, Wisdom Doctor, Doctor of Wisdom. You say, well, Pastor, I'll never have a doctor in front of my name. Yes, you can. You can have wisdom. You can be a wise individual. Well, help number one to gain a heart of wisdom is we need to read regularly. We need to faithfully read the Word of God. I know that sounds very rudimentary, but that's where it begins. You've got to be in the Word of God. And you say, well, why do I need to read the Bible? Because God gives us His wisdom through His Word. And specifically, we find that wisdom in the book of Proverbs. I want to read again verses 1 through 6 for you. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Notice, to know wisdom. Why has God given us the book of Proverbs? To know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, equity, to give wisdom to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now again, why should we read and study the book of Proverbs? Because this book of 31 chapters is the mind of God the wisdom of God expressed in writing. It is wisdom's counsel, which is to know wisdom and instruction. And wisdom is known, it is lived out when divine biblical knowledge produces God-honoring obedience. It's not just enough to know what you should do. A wise person does what he knows he should do. Steve Pettit, in his book on James, defines wisdom as possessing moral perception and discernment to handle practical matters. As I said earlier, the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters, which makes it a nice fit for a monthly read-through. We can read a chapter a day in a typical 31-day month. But you say, well, I want to read other parts of the Bible. And I respond, you should, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That sounds like a wise man to me. But at least once a month, if I could put in a plug for the book of Proverbs, at least 1 month each year, or once every 6 months, perhaps January, perhaps July. We're already through with January, so maybe you need to start in February. But you should be reading the book of wisdom, the book called Proverbs, which is filled with capsules of practical truth, often in the form of short, pithy maxims. And as we read this instruction that leads and guides God's people to do the right thing, we need to do so prayerfully. It's not just enough to just read kind of in a rote way the Word of God. We need to do so by asking the God of wisdom to reveal, number one, to reveal wondrous things out of His law, out of His Word. When you and I open the Word of God, the first thing we should do before we even read a word of it is to say, Lord, teach me what I need to learn from this portion of Scripture. That automatically opens your heart. It opens your mind to the truth. Lord, teach me what I need to learn from this portion of Scripture. And then secondly, you need to pray, Lord, show me how to obediently apply these divine principles. Teach me what I need to know. Teach me the knowledge of what's contained here, and then teach me how to apply that knowledge. We spoke on this portion of Scripture 2-3 weeks ago, Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice to understanding, criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. I mean, that to me sounds like you're asking God for help. You're asking God to be your teacher, to be your guide. I'll tell you, that's a prayer God will always answer. Then as one author writes, as time passes and as the Spirit of God applies His Word, you will become increasingly wise. And so help number one, we need to read regularly the Book of Wisdom. Specifically, we need to read the book of Proverbs. Personally speaking, I've read the book of Proverbs many times. And every time I read its pages, every time I read its wisdom, God says to me, there you are. That's what you need to heed. That's what you need to learn. That's what you need to apply to your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot afford to go through life without God's wisdom. You aren't going to make it. I'm telling you, you aren't going to make it. And so open God's Word and say, Lord, teach me what I need to learn. How to live. Not just how to make a living, but how to live. And let me tell you, if you know how to live, you'll know how to make a living. And so read the Word of God daily. Be in the book of Proverbs regularly. Help number two, to gain a heart of wisdom, you need to hear and heed the counsel of wise men. Hear and heed the counsel of wise men. Notice verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Yes, the Bible is our only source of infallible, inerrant wisdom. It is the only book inspired by God. But yet God's Word does not have to be our only source of godly wisdom. God has given to believers, to you and me, what is called the church. The church, which is the body of Christ, which is comprised of godly men and women who, through Bible knowledge that they have married to life's experiences, and those experiences can be the good and the bad and the ugly, have gained discernment, have acquired a heart of wisdom. And what a graceful wreath and what ornaments of wisdom they can then pass on to you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, God gives to you this body of believers to help you further gain wisdom. From your youth pastor, from your Sunday school teachers, from those who are leaders in the church, God gives to you and me this body of believers, this, if I could use the term, pool of wisdom. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. Can I say how important it is then to be here? I think one of the greatest steps to gaining a heart of wisdom is to understand the importance of being in God's house. And we talked about this a week or so ago, but the more you're here, the more opportunities we have to impart to you God's wisdom. The more opportunities you have to impart wisdom to others. The church of Jesus Christ is a two-way street. It's not just me or Pastor Beck standing before you and saying, this is what you need to understand. This is how you need to apply this to your life. And if you do so, you'll gain a heart of wisdom. God uses you to be a blessing to me, to be a blessing to your youth pastor, to others around you. Don't cheat us by not being here. When you can be here, you can be a blessing and you can be blessed. These churches, and I say this kindly, these churches that have one service a week, oh, they have a good service. Well, maybe they do. But ladies and gentlemen, I need to be under the hearing of the Word more than just once a week. I need to be with God's people more than just once a week. I need you. And if I can be frank, you need me. We need each other. So don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If you want to gain a heart of wisdom, this is a great place to find it. Back in here in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon is specifically identifying the instruction, the teaching of a godly dad and mom. Notice again verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, which he says is to be heard. This instruction of the dad and the mom is to be heard, and not just heard, but heeded. For it comes, young people, from hearts that love you more than anyone else and want you to succeed more than anyone else, more, much more than your teachers, your coaches, your friends, and even your pastors. How often it is, though, that kids will listen to their teachers or they'll listen to their peers, their friends, before they'll ever listen to their parents. Pastor Beck and I love you, and we want you to find God's will and fulfill it. That's success, finding God's will and doing it. But I can promise you, your parents love you more and care more for you than even we do. And so when they seek to give you advice and counsel, meaning when they teach you the truth of God and then they show you how to apply that truth to everyday living, and then when they discipline you, when you don't follow wisdom's ways, they really have your best interest at heart. As parents, we are fallible. We are not all wise. We make mistakes. I look back on the rearing of our three children, and I thought, oh boy, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do that, but I'd do this. But frankly speaking, there are things we as parents have learned often through the school of hard knocks that we need and we want to pass on to you that can help you to avoid the same pitfalls and troubles that we ourselves experienced when we grew up. You know, really every generation should get a little better. I mean, what my parents learned through their mistakes, they can pass on to me. What I've learned through my mistakes, I can pass on to my children. And really, the mistakes should be getting less, not more. Amen? I mean, if it's done right. And so the wise son, the wise daughter says, Dad, Mom, talk to me. Because I want to hear, I need to hear, I need to listen to the wisdom that God has given you. That's being wise right there. Again, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. In other words, Solomon is saying, young people, be proactive. Take the initiative. Don't let it always be the parents coming to you. You go to the parents and say, you know, I'm thinking about dating this young lady. This young man has asked me out. Dad, Mom, what do you think? I mean, after they have, you know, after they've come up off the ground because they've fainted, they'll maybe be able to give you some sound advice. I mean, it shouldn't just be parents going to their children. It should be the children coming to the parents. Amen? I mean, that's what the scriptures are saying. And so I say this because I care. Seek, young people, the advice, the wisdom that comes from people that love you the most. When you're proactive, when you seek the wisdom that God has given to your parents that they want to pass on to you, you are then not being wise in your own eyes. Rather, you are keeping sound wisdom and discretion. You know, if you look through the book of Proverbs, you see in chapter 2, my son, and there's instruction there. Chapter 3, my son, there's instruction there. chapter 4, hear ye children the instruction of a father, attend to no understanding. Chapter 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Chapter 6, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend. Chapter 7, my son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. I mean, chapter after chapter says, young people, this is what you need to learn so that you too will have a heart of wisdom. Again, no source of wisdom can match the timeless, infallible, inerrant truth of God's word, but at the same time, don't give a deaf ear, young people, and a resistant heart to the God-given wisdom of seasoned believers, which includes believers known as parents. Thank the Lord for the godly parents he gave to me. And my dad was never one that always was flapping his lips. You know, he wasn't always in my face. And I think there's some wisdom to that. I mean, we can be too much in our children's faces. Always pointing out, well, you need to work on this and you need to work on that. And you know what? That just kind of turns kids off too. But I thank God, the Lord directed my dad and my mom, and when they knew I needed to have some counsel, and it was more often than I probably really understood, how faithful they were. And I'm standing before you this morning as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, primarily because I had godly parents who loved me and prayed for me and gave to me the wisdom that God had given to them. So it matters, parents, it matters, children, that we have that godly relationship. Help number 2, hear and heed the counsel of the wise. Help number 3, to gain a heart of wisdom, choose your friends wisely, choose them carefully. Notice verse 10, chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lie wait for blood, let us lurk privily. For the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait in their own blood. They lurk privily or secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now every person influences those around him either in a positive or a negative way. He is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. Every person in your life, I mean, if you have any relationship with that person, she either is a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And the wise person discerns the difference. He, she perceives those in his or her life who help him, help her, those who hinder him, those who help him to run well, to do right, those that help. Let me just use the pronoun him. Those that help him to love Jesus, to obey him, to seek the advice of one's parents. Young people, if you are running with young people that say, well, don't listen to your parents, then they are not good friends. Those who hinder, there are those who help, there are those who hinder. Think of that verse in Galatians 5:6. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? And so Solomon is saying, have friends, but make sure they are walking the narrow road that leads to life and not the broad road that leads to destruction. Make friends, be a friend to those who are helping you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but avoid friendships with those whom Satan would use to ambush your soul. And yes, we need to reach out with Christian love to those whose counsel runs counter to the truth of God's word, but we don't need to join them on that road to destruction. I think every godly young person is praying, Lord, help me to tell someone about you. Help me to be someone that tells my lost friends or those my acquaintances, those I'm going to school with, about Jesus and his love. And help number three, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Let me just say before we look at help number four, if you have a question about whether you should be a friend to someone, in other words, if you should become a good friend to that person, and there's a question in your mind, talk to your folks about it. Talk to your youth pastor about it. Say, let me tell you who this girl is or who this guy is. Is this person going to be a good influence on my life? Choose friends wisely. And then one more help, and I know these are very rudimentary, but they are so needful. Learn from life's reproofs. Learn from life's reproofs. Notice verse 20. Wisdom crieth out without. She uttereth. She raises her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth his words. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. In Proverbs, wisdom is personified as the one who shouts in the street, who lifts up her voice in the square. In other words, wisdom speaks loud and clear. Wisdom is clearly discerned. And wisdom always tries to speak to us through life's reproofs. Meaning after we have stumbled and fallen, after we have miserably failed at something, perhaps something very important to us, after we have gone down through those dark and dismal valleys, after we have endured long, winding, painful paths, which God has allowed, God has permitted, wisdom says, now please listen to God. Because he has some advice to give you. Give God your attention. If you're going through a difficulty right now, if you're going through some deep waters right now, God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to teach you some wisdom, some truths. He's trying to give you a life-learned lesson. He has a lesson, he has a truth he wants to teach you. Now let me say the foolish simply grit their teeth and try to bear life's hard times, but the wise hear wisdom's voice in the valleys of life and look up and say, Lord, you've got my attention. Please start talking, because I am listening. I know I must start listening to your reproofs, to your correction, to your rebukes. One of the special blessings of being a follower of Christ is our failures, our foibles, can become some of our greatest opportunities to grow in wisdom. And so let God's reproving wisdom, I love that, his reproving wisdom, his rebuke have its way. Don't be blinded by pride. Don't get in the way of you having an opportunity here and a chance there to gain a heart of wisdom. Notice again verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, when we turn, when we listen, when we are willing to learn, when there's something really maybe bad going on, behold, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. I say that sounds like God wanting to give us wisdom. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through now. Well, God says, I want to teach you something. And in teaching you that life-changing lesson, you in turn then can pass that life-changing lesson on to someone else. Think of that verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for what? Good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you get a phone call and you say, oh. You know, sometimes I'll get a call and say, people on the other end will say, I need to just want to meet with you. They don't say why they want to meet with you. They just say, I want to meet with you. And sometimes it's not good. You know, sometimes I've had people actually rebuke me. But you know what? Even in that, God is trying to teach me something. I think the key to having a wise heart, we've looked at all these helps, but I think that one of the biggest keys of having a wise heart is to always wake up in the morning with the idea, with the understanding, I need help. I haven't arrived. And God, you're going to bring people into my life. You're going to bring trials into my life. You're going to bring situations into my life that maybe I don't even, I mean, that's the last thing I would want to have happen to me. But God says, I want to give you a heart of wisdom. So say, Lord, teach me what I need to know. Now again, our Western mindset tends to equate knowledge with wisdom, which means the smarter we are, the more knowledge we have, the more degrees we have earned, the wiser then we must be. But according to God, and understand this, it's always His scale. I mean, He's the one that determines what wisdom is. According to God, the author, the giver of wisdom. Remember again our memory verse. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You and I can be wise. We can behave wisely. And these helps I have given you, read the Bible, specifically the book of Proverbs, on a regular basis. Question, are you seeking God's wisdom in His Word? Remember, when you open God's Word, the first thing you should do before you read one word is to say, Lord, I need Your wisdom. Teach me. Help number two, hear and heed the counsel of wise people, which includes your parents, which includes mature believers in the body of Christ. Question, are you teachable? And you know what? Parents, sometimes your children can teach you things. I tell you, I've been rebuked by my children. So it goes both ways. Help number three, choose your friends carefully. Question, are you choosing wise friends? Help number four, learn from life's reproofs. God's divine rebukes, are you learning? These helps will take you a long ways down the road of gaining a heart of wisdom and the subsequent earning the degree Wisdom Doctor. Doctor of Wisdom.